look at this.
So this is Chettinad. Am I saying that right?
Yep, Chettinad, yeah.
Chettinad. Chettinad in Fitzrovia off of Tottenham Court Road. Was this Percy Street?
Percy Street, yes.
Pussy Street.
Oh, testing. Actually, I've got the same, bit, the same volume as you today. So that's.
Oh, yeah? Can you hear me?
That's a win.
Sweet.
Oh, God, it's going to be.
Do you want to start it or shall I?
Go for it.
Okay. All right. Hey, welcome to a new episode of All Consumed. I feel as though it's been a while. We were on a roll there, and then life caught up.
I think we're in about three or four weeks.
Okay, yeah. I'm Chris Osborne, and I'm here with...
I'm Neil Davey. Sorry, a little high-pitched. I don't know why I was so high-pitched.
Getting a little giddy there, Neil.
Hello.
All right, you should be giddy because we're at a very nice restaurant. We're at Chettinad, sort of a classic South Indian restaurant in Fitzrovia, just off Tottenham Court.
Yeah.
Road in on I think it's Percy Street.
Percy Street.
You say Percy. I say Percy. All right.
It's the whole thing.
I had a very nice big dosa that took over the table and chicken starter. What was that? Chicken 65.
That was good. Actually, I think you won the starters. I think. But yeah, my dosas. Yeah, my friend of mine recommended this last week. We were discussing the lack of. Like regionally and kind of outside of London, your local, lots of local kind of Indian restaurants and stuff, and a really simple, dependable, straightforward. London got lots of really good high end places, but just little places where people throw cutlery and crockery around them. Are they trying to record a podcast? This was kind of southern Indian food, big vegan vegetarian focus as well, and thoroughly endorsed by somebody who's quite hard to please, and I think he was right.
All right, yeah. So, well, I am pleased. That was very nice. Prices seem reasonable for portions,
yeah.
And we're here from the early side of evening, and lots of people, all sorts of different types of folks coming in, and
it's good to
enjoy
really
the
nice.
Meal. And we are.
It feels like a secret that we only just been. Let in on.
There you go.
Well, that's quite nice.
Imagine that. Gosh. Two food writers finding out about an Indian restaurant in London.
I also like the fact when their sister restaurant is in Leicester.
Oh, yeah. So well, great South Asian food scene in Leicester, yeah?
Exactly. So that's also quite encouraging.
There you go.
Who did well? So how have you been?
Yeah, pretty good. I'm enjoying the obligatory Kingfisher here.
Absolutely.
The large beer. And I've been well, man. I've been busy.
Mm-hmm.
Busy with my non-food writer work, which has led me up to Nottingham. I spent a lot of time up there doing some training for some work I do. I didn't have a lot of free time there. I know Nottingham a little bit. I've been up there for pleasure before. And when I had a chance to go into town with some people who didn't know the city, we went to Nottingham Castle, which is an interesting place.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's one of those underappreciated. Nottingham seems to be one of those, again, under the radar. Kind of, lots of people know of it, obviously, and Sherwood Forest and Robin Hood and all of that.
Well, that's
and
it, man.
Lots of people don't actually seem to have ventured in.
Yeah. It gets the old sort of anti-authoritarian activist in me very excited. Robin Hood, Sherwood Forest. I've been there before. Definitely mm-hmm. worth a visit. And also, the Luddites are from Nottingham. And I'm sure most people are familiar with the term. They're a Luddite. This person is against technology or backward in some way.
I fear change. Yep.
But actually, who the Luddites actually were a group of protesters who worked in weaving, I think. They used, in the 19th century, they used equipment that would weave and do looming type jobs. And these new machines were coming into the workplace and really threatened livelihood and jobs for people. And they destroyed them in an act of protest. I think they ended up destroying hundreds of these machines in and around Nottingham and Nottinghamshire.
Okay.
And they created a fictional character as sort of their leader. No real Ned Ludd, but from that they became the Luddites. And Nottingham Castle is a great place to find out about them, the history there. They've got one of these stacking frames, I think, that would have been destroyed by them. So you get a sense of that doing major industrial damage at the time. And it was fascinating to see that. Castle is also great for a lot of Robin Hood information and just a really nice collection of art. A lot of it's local. And as you said earlier,
the writer's strike, the actor's strike in the US, there's some interesting...
That was really interesting thing about
parallel,
the in relation to what's happening now with the Hollywood writer's strike and their concern about AI taking over their jobs and automating something that was used to be considered craft and artistry. And I think there's a lot of parallel there. So that was neat.
Interesting point.
Yeah.
It all comes around again.
Nothing.
Everything's cyclical.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. What about you, man? What have you been up to?
So, yeah, I've been same old, usual bits and pieces. Had some usual mix of kind of food experiences. I mean, one of the joys recently has just been, last week was a properly old school. Well, the last couple of weeks have been very old school. Or new places with little old school touches. So I took my wife's aunt to a local Italian restaurant where she is in Newell, in kind of the southwest of London. It's a little Italian restaurant called almost inevitably Topo Gigio. There seems to be an awful lot of restaurants called Topo Gigio dotted around the UK.
Okay.
Three courses, $15.95.
Wow, okay, that's...
Nothing clever, nothing fancy, nothing elaborate, just really nicely cooked.
Okay.
Clearly mostly homemade. Some slightly random things, hundreds and thousands thrown onto a tiramisu, which didn't really need to be there. Squirty cream, which didn't really need to be there. But $15.95...
You can forgive a little extra...
You can be quite forgiving. And then, ironically, around the same price, you can get dessert at Dovetail.
Okay, yeah. Tom now, this Sellers. Is a restaurant you've really
loved it.
Been impressed with.
Absolutely loved it. And I saw Tom Sellers, a big fan of Tom Sellers.
Yeah.
Before Story, went to a couple of his kind of pop-ups that he did while he was developing Story.
Uh-huh.
This is a guy who's been cooking, as he was telling me last week, he's been cooking since the age of 15.
Okay.
And pretty much working 20 hours a day, pretty much 7 days a week since he was 15 till he was in his 30s. Restaurant Story down on Tooley Street. That's currently closed. Will reopen in November. He's got two Michelin stars there. He's redeveloping the restaurant and redesigning the restaurant because, as he said, he wants the third star.
Okay.
Not making it's nice to be around somebody that brazen and honest about it.
Right,
it's not normally the British way that we kind of, I definitely want the third star. But he's always been quite an intense chap. Very, very good chef, but really quite intense. And now he just seems like he's a little more focused, not just kind of wired all the time.
Okay.
He's developed this restaurant called Dovetail at the new, the one hotel in Mayfair, the new hotel.
Yeah.
At top of Berkeley Street.
Okay.
Which is beautiful. Used to be an old Holiday Inn, apparently.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Hasn't been a Holiday Inn for a while. Doesn't look anything like a Holiday Inn now. So he spent the last 4 years trying to develop the restaurant and been traveling to Berlin and stuff to choose plates. So really kind of everything from the ground up he's been involved with. And apparently one of the things he's wanted to do for a long, long time is have a Knickerbocker Glory station.
Oh, wonderful.
And he has a Knickerbocker Glory station. He has a man behind a cart.
Okay.
Beautifully designed. You get a lovely little menu. There are three or four recipes already kind of selected for you. Or you can tick the boxes a la dim sum menu and you choose your base, the ice creams, the toppings, the fruit, everything. And
nice.
It was brilliant and delicious and like going back to the 1970s, so which is never a bad thing.
Wonderful.
And this came a week after going to the new Manzi's,
okay,
which is an interesting idea. Very good in places, not so good in others. Hopefully they'll get there, they'll get up to speed.
So classic fish.
It was kind of an old school fish restaurant. It looks beautiful. It's the Wolseley Group. They obviously know what they're doing.
Okay.
Place looks beautiful. They have you can see it on my Instagram feed. I put something up, much like the old, like the Quaglino's ashtray or the salt and pepper from Virgin Airways. They've got a salt and pepper shaker that are in the shape of crabs.
Okay.
And I was looking at them thinking, these are the most nickable things I've seen in a London restaurant since the Guadalino's. They mentioned it to the GM as he was passing, and he had me turn one over and show me on the bottom, and it says, pinch from Manzi's.
Very nice.
Which is a very nice touch. So, little old school dining. I think a little food and nostalgia is not a good, powerful thing. Fond memories and, nice.
Wonderful. Well, just around the corner from Dovetail, or maybe just down the street from Dovetail, around Berkeley Square, I had a really nice but extremely expensive coffee at a coffee shop called Shot London. Okay, and this is just around the corner from Green Park. And what I loved about it is you can get some of the most premium coffee beans served to you. So Kona Coffee, Blue Mountain Coffee, Geisha Coffee from Panama. Lots of coffee that's really hard to find, but you're going to pay for it. They do have a few more affordable options, including what I got was a pistachio latte with coffee ice cubes. So a pretty decent premium coffee frozen as ice cubes. And then I had it on a hot day. And as I'm walking around drinking it, they're melting. And rather than diffusing the flavor, they're adding flavor. And the more affordable version of this is something I was doing anyway. I've been making my own cold brew coffee this summer. Spend a little bit extra on beans than I might usually. To make cold brew coffee is extremely easy. You just need to wait. And you extract more flavor from the bean than typical heat brewing. And then from that, when I make the cold brew, I will then pour some into an ice tray and make my own ice cubes. And when I get up in the morning, go about my business, put some of those in a cup of cold brew. And as they melt, I've got more coffee, more flavor. It stays nice and cool. I love iced coffee, and I'm enjoying
this.
Also, a couple of times I've just had some pressed coconut water with the coffee ice cubes in it. And then as they melt, it's an incredibly refreshing drink.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
nice. Well, I think coffee is one of those things that is the good stuff is worth paying for. It's you do notice.
I notice a difference. It's this is one of those luxuries I will pay for.
Yeah.
I have I'm pretty much a cheapskate in most categories, but I'll spend a little extra on quality coffee.
Well, it's good. I mean, it kind of brings me on to one of the things I wanted to talk about. I get a lot of people saying, "Well, I can't believe you spent this on that or that amount on this." You know, well, I did because that's what I like doing. I will spend quite a lot of money on steak. I will spend quite a lot of money on wine because it is something, a ridiculous amount of money on chocolate, on the good chocolate, because you can tell the difference. And it does, I think, improves the quality of my life by doing that.
Yeah,
all the people who kind of go, "Oh, well, I wouldn't do that." Guess what? Don't.
Yeah.
There is you don't have to do it. I'm not saying you have to do it. There's a Dovetail, but there was a delicious, absolutely delicious dish. I would go back and eat. I'm stuffed to the gills now. If somebody offered me this dish, I would eat it right now. It's based on a dish from Harry's Bar in Venice.
Okay.
It's a Wagyu Carpaccio. It's British Wagyu Carpaccio with a little sort of dash of hot mustard over the top.
Okay.
Chives and these amazing beef fat chips. They're just like almost like confit potato. They were so crispy and crunchy and ridiculously rich. And there's five chips, there's a plate of beef that just vanishes in the matter of seconds, and it's 28 quid. Which is the best way of spending 28 quid in London at the moment, hands down.
Okay.
Not going to do it every day. And if people are questioning, "Oh, I can't believe you do it."
You don't have to do it every day.
You don't have to. And neither do I. And I won't. And I think it is it's a vague extension of something I've learned over the last few weeks, which is, it's really nice to say no sometimes.
Okay.
Just kind of, you feel slightly duty bound. And I think as a, I don't know, as a, a man of a certain age, and you kind of, yeah, I should do that, or I feel it's like, do you think, actually, you know what? That's not going to improve the quality of my life.
Yeah.
I don't actually have to do that. And it's been quite nice saying no and acknowledging, you know what? No, I don't want to do that.
It's going to be all right.
It's going to be all right. And actually, when you do tell people that, they're generally, yeah, all right. I'll find somebody else.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Rather than me
being assertive is probably the best way around a lot of things. And if you are of a certain age, you know what you like and don't and what you find value with. And if somebody has a real problem with that, you probably should have said no to them well before.
Absolutely, exactly. Precisely.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah, and yeah, all right. Well, but what have you been saying yes to, Neil?
So, well, I joined most of the country, or it seems like most of the country. I went to see the Barbie movie.
Okay.
Which was, I wish it was a little bit better. I think it does get a little self-indulgent. There's some brilliant, brilliant ideas. Some of it is incredibly funny. There's some very, very powerful moments. It's also been interesting. As well as seeing Barbie, I've also been reading Caitlin Moran's new book, which is called What About Men? And I know she's gone through a bit of a backlash from, I don't know, the certain male commentators or men's rights activists or whatever you want to call them, who are going, how dare a woman write this? And it's the same people who seem to be really pissed off that Barbie exists or is trying to make the points it makes.
Okay.
And they're just really offended that it's kind of anti-men and everything. I go, no, it really isn't. And it's just, hopefully, both the book and the film are pissing the right people off.
Okay.
And hopefully will encourage the right people to have the debate. So instead of everything being polarized and whatever, gender equality and the whole thorny issue of that and what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing and what we should have done and what we could have done and didn't, instead of it being completely polarized to a this is right, that's wrong, there's a lot of messy stuff to sort out in the middle. It's not just black and white. It's a big grey area.
Okay.
And I think the joy of Barbie not being perfect as a film, and I think the joy of someone like Caitlin Moran writing a book about men, it's not presumptuous. It's encouraging the right people to go and have the right conversation. And maybe we'll all understand each other a little bit more as a result.
All right. Oh, very nice. All right. Well,
because you and I believe you've done the other half of the classic double bill.
Oppenheimer, I went and saw Oppenheimer this weekend. Talk about toxic masculinity. There you go. It was a very good film.
The half-life of toxic masculinity.
Yeah. Really enjoyed the dude, Cillian.
Murphy.
Yes. Cillian Murphy. Yeah. He's going to get the Academy Award for his performance. Really, really good.
Heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, Florence Pugh's in it. That's very nice. She plays a romantic interest, and I'd watch any movie for that. She's lovely. I got a lot out of it. I don't know if I enjoyed it because it's pretty heavy duty stuff. I mean, it's about the guy who invented the atomic bomb, obviously.
Spoiler alert!
Yeah, there you go. And they used it. Spoiler alert. But I'm glad I saw it. It was a good experience. And also, I'm just glad about where I saw it. I went to the Barbican Center, where I'm a member. And if you like actually just being absorbed by a film, watching a film, their screening rooms are great. It is designed for a film lover. And they'll do the big films. Like, I think Barbie was playing there, Oppenheimer, obviously. But they'll do a lot of the art house films and a lot of foreign releases. And I just love going there. I'm a member. I have been for a few years, and I have been in the past. A lot of places where I've become a member, at the end of the year, I realize, oh, I just spent more money than I normally would have. But I think I actually get a lot of value out of my Barbican membership. If you are a member, you get a really decent price on the movies, private views. A lot of exhibitions there are great. I would pay money to go see them anyway. And I just love being in the Barbican. I love the architecture. I love the brutalist architecture. I'm glad the world doesn't look like that. I'm glad London doesn't look like that. But I'm glad there's a part of London that looks like that.
And my perception of the Barbican would also be that the the rest of the audience are there to see the film, not talk on their phones.
Yeah, exactly.
Watch TikTok or whatever that seems to happen at local multiplexes.
No, I think people are there because they appreciate the art form, and or they're a move up, or they're even, maybe they're even in the industry.
Yeah,
and they're appreciating it for what the film is. Yeah, for sure.
For that reason alone makes me want to go to the bar.
Fewer teenagers playing on their phone.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
Actually, it's not just the teenagers. That's the thing. Yeah. It's not just the teenagers. It's everyone.
Yeah, there you go.
Put the phone down and back away.
Yeah. And while we're talking about stuff I've really enjoyed viewing, went to a great, great art exhibition at Michael Werner Gallery in Mayfair, and that was Gaston Chazillac, okay? Mid-century French artist, okay? Associated with the art group movement, okay? Contemporary with Jean Dubuffet, who's also very associated with art groups. So kind of from an outsider approach, but very much became part of the establishment with their art. And just kind of everyday Chris terms, wobbly, wonky lines, but just capturing moments and perception in a way that's just fun to look at. And the exhibition's there until I think the middle September. Okay, so plenty of time to see it. Michael Werner Gallery is really interesting. It's on, I think it's on Brook Street. Check that.
Okay.
But it just looks like a townhouse. You ride by it, where's the gallery? You buzz to go in. And the weekday I went, I just had the gallery to myself.
Nice.
It was really nice. Beautiful building, beautiful interiors. But really great show. Yeah.
Okay. Nice way to, what a nice way to spend the afternoon.
Yeah. It was, yeah. And one more thing I'd like to mention. Yesterday, I came across a British expression I have never heard, even though I have lived in this country over 20 years now. And as far as I know, for the first time ever, somebody said, teaching granny to suck eggs. I don't want to teach granny how to suck eggs. I'd never heard this before, and I can only agree. I would. Well, both my grandmothers are dead, but I never would have wanted to teach them to suck an egg.
It is that when you first questioned this, when we sat down, you go, yeah, this is an expression I'm sure I've used. I've probably written it down in a few things. And it makes no sense whatsoever.
So idea is you're not going to teach something to someone who already is an expert or knows it.
Yeah.
And why you would think your grandmother knows how to suck an egg, I don't know.
It's one of those things, once you start to break it down, you go, what?
Yeah.
What? Rubbish. That's nonsense.
I don't know if this is an old Anglo-Saxon tradition, ancient Celtic religious ceremony.
If anyone listening already knows this, I will go and look this up.
Yeah.
And whether egg sucking, is it some sort of bastardized translation from something else?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if Granny knew how to do that either. But you know.
And then, I wish we will get to the bottom.
Maybe the Vikings brought it over. Huguenots. I don't know, but the Romans. Maybe it's left over from Roman tradition.
Maybe they have eggs in really awkward positions. you couldn't get your hand in. How on earth are we going to get that egg out of there? Is there a grandmother?
And see, I don't know how to suck an egg. So if my grandmother was still around, maybe I could have asked her.
You know, maybe it's an old family skill.
She's in heaven now, sucking eggs.
Man. Oh, I knew I should have told Chris.
But anyway, I'm surprised I'd never heard that before. I was on a Zoom meeting, and the person leading it said it, and I'm like looking around, and everybody else is just like, yeah, shaking their head. I'm like, what the hell was that? What is that got to do with...
That's good. Even after 20 years, English idioms can still surprise
you,
a visitor.
You folk are still surprising me.
And I still like Chris.
Very
we
much
try.
Feel like a foreigner, which is great. And on that note, anything else, Neil?
And on that bombshell. I am good. I am full of, I'm now full of dosa. I'm full of very spicy chicken.
Yeah. Would you come back here?
Absolutely.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. It's always good to know these places exist.
It's
been here a while, I think.
I would imagine so. So no, the number of other people who already know this is quite remarkable.
I would say most of the people here seem to come here regularly,
yeah.
And they know what they're doing, and they love it.
Yeah.
And I may join them now as one of those.
I suspect this will not be my last. So yes.
Right. So cool. Well, so
somewhere underneath us at the moment there is playing a lovely tune.
The Year Was Strange.
By Enub.
Enub, all right. And let's see. Are you on Threads?
Yes, I am. I am. I believe.
What you think? Dine Hard on Threads?
I am Dine Hard on Threads. I haven't actually posted anything yet.
Okay.
I think I'm only following maybe two people, but I will get to Threads.
Right.
Yeah, my Twitter app changed this week to the Black X.
X marks the spot. Yeah, it's just death.
Yeah. It's a bin fire.
I've only done a very little, but I'm on Threads as well. Chris
okay.
Osborne is my handle there, and on Instagram. Seek Chris is my blog. Anything else you want?
Yeah, no, Dine Hard on Instagram. I use quite a lot. And Threads, which I will get around to using in due course.
All right. Well, thanks, Neil.
Always a pleasure, Chris. Always a pleasure.
All right. Thanks, man.